Thank you for choosing Dwelling Place City Church Podcast.
How many of you have your Bibles? Okay. You have something that has the Word of God on it?
Yeah.
All right, let's go. Father, we come before you tonight. We want some food. We need some food. So fill us with something that's edible and nutritious. And Holy Spirit, we yield and surrender to you in Jesus' name. And everybody said?
Amen.
Tonight, I'm going to take you someplace. I'm going to be a little bit more casual. Usually, I'm pretty much organized on Sunday morning. But, you know, how many of you journal? Any of you journal? Do you? Okay. If you've never journaled, you should. You know, I journaled, and this is not what we're talking about tonight, but I'm just talking from my journal here because I usually do every 2 weeks I can fill two legal-sized pads. And the reason I do that, and I'm not saying that so you go, I could be writing Mary Had a Little Lamb, but if you write something significant, they have proven that there's something to putting it through your fingers. Now, I know you can do it with a keyboard, and I'm not saying it can't happen with a keyboard, but there's something to it, whether you block print or whether you cursive write. When you write things that are coming out of your heart and out of your spirit, it makes a connection inside of you. And so I've done this for decades. I have probably, 1,000 at least, way more than that, probably 1,000 of these. And there are times when you just connect with God. And each of you, I'm not going to ask you who does, but each of you, you should have a time every day that you're going to spend with the Lord. And I know some of you have to get up, you have work in San Diego and you got to get on the freeway and fight that drill, But whenever it is, you need to find the time when you spend with the Lord and just let him talk through you. You say, well, what does God sound like? I can tell you what he sounds like. He sounds like you. He sounds just like you. And when you sit down, particularly when you start writing, you'd be amazed. I challenge you, try it. You'd be amazed. You start writing your thoughts. I just get up in the morning and start writing, good morning. I write what I'm feeling. Good morning, Lord, Holy Spirit. I appreciate you and I love you. And what is it you want today? And off you go. And you'd be surprised. And so I encourage you to do that. It's not what we're talking about tonight, but I encourage you to do that because it really builds up your spirit, builds up who you are in the Word. And then you're not just feeding on what somebody else says. You're not feeding on what I teach you on Sunday morning or anybody else teaches you or where you're watching television. Because when you do this, this gets down in your spirit, okay? All right, go to the book of Ephesians, if you would, tonight. Book of Ephesians, chapter 1. And I'm going to talk about something that I've talked about a number of times, but I really feel is absolutely crucial for where the body of Christ is going today. We see what's happening in the world, and we see what's happening all around us. And, if you try to interpret what's happening in our culture and in our world right now, it's crazy because whether you're a Democrat or a Republican, there's foolishness on both sides. Just sometimes one side talks louder than the other in foolishness. Okay, but when you hear people absolutely hate something that's good, that's evil. Did you get that? When you hear somebody hate something that is good, that's evil. I don't care who's doing it. So I don't care whether you're a Democrat or Republican, you're a Christian, you're a Muslim, whatever you are, if you're thinking something that's evil, that's contrary to the scriptures, that's evil. That's absolutely evil. So we begin to learn how to listen to what God's trying to say to our culture and our society because we are the only solution. The only hope for America is the born-again church. Amen. That's it. If you're born again, you're a part of the great hope for America. And it's got nothing to do with who wins the office of the president. Well, I shouldn't say it doesn't have anything to do. It can have something to do with. But the real issue is the church in America, not politics. America is where America is because the average Christian does not understand the things we're going to talk about tonight. And if they do understand them, they don't really apply them. And they don't really see them as relevant, okay? Am I making sense?
Yep.
So you listen to what we're going to talk about tonight, because I'm going to read a verse to you that I've read to you for decades, okay? And you know it, and you're going to be able to quote it, but it's in Ephesians chapter 1. It's in the King James, and we're going to look at verse 3 and 4. Watch this. He says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." There's a Father and Jesus, "who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings." Who's that? Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit. So now you have the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Okay. "In heavenly places in Christ Jesus." And here it is. "According as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world." Now, I've used that verse. You know I've used that verse over and over and over again to try to help drive home the issue that your relationship with the Lord has to be greater than your relationship with your church. Yes. And it has to be personal, and it has to be intimate if you're going to make it through the days ahead of us. If you read what Jesus, what the Holy Spirit records in the New Testament about what the world's going to be like before Jesus comes back, you wouldn't be praying he come back.
That's right.
Because it's going to get really ugly. He's not coming back for a pristine church. He's going to come back for a church that's been at war. It's got scars. It's got wounds. It's been out in the battlefield. She's been out doing, you know, her bridal gown is a mess. And she's at war with the world. And she's not hiding inside the church. But she's out in the streets, and she's dealing with the culture and the society. Does that make sense? That's why we keep saying what we say to you as a church. What is our vision? Where are we going? You know, and not everybody wants to go where we're going. That's okay. You know, if everybody doesn't want to go where we're going, well, not everybody should. How many of you know? There's other visions and other desires and other passions. We just know what we're going to do, and we're not going to do anything else. Does that make sense?
Yes.
And it all rotates about this verse. It's in verse 4. It says, "According as he has chosen us before the foundation of the world." Now, you've heard me say this. I'm going to say it again because I'm trying to take us someplace. So the Father designed you in him before the foundation of the world. He did not design your body. He did not design your looks, your hair. He didn't design your culture. He didn't design any of that. Okay. What he designed is who you are in him.
Yes.
Got it? Okay. And when you understand that, when you find out who you are in him, you're not living from here. Because from here, the world will tell you who you are and what you look like.
Yes.
And what your value is. See? But when you're living from there, you're living according to what he says about you, not what the world says about you, and not what the people around you say about you, not what's in your bank account, not what you drive, not where you live, not your culture. It's got nothing to do with it. It doesn't have a race, doesn't have a color, and doesn't have a creed. Does that make sense? So he's designed you before the foundation of the world, and he's created you for that purpose. So the inside of you is, as I've said to you, what am I going to say? The inside is
outside.
Okay, the inside is bigger than the outside. Now, you've heard me say this before, so I'm not giving you anything new. You're a three-part being. You have a body, you have a soul, and you have a spirit. Now, when you think about what God created in you and who you are supposed to be, we know that he didn't create your body. Okay? No, he didn't design your body. Okay, got it? All right, so we have a choice. You have body, then you have a soul. Now your soul, you know this, most of you know this. This is the seat of your thinking. This is your decision-making process. This is where you decide what you're going to do. When you see something wrong, you decide in your soul what you're going to do about that. Whether you're going to accept it, whether you're going to reject it, whether you're going to deal with it, whether you're going to leave it alone, turn around and walk away. Or whether you're just going to go hide in the corner and pretend like it doesn't matter. Okay? So that's your soul. This is your mind, your decision-making process. Okay? And then you have your spirit. Now, catch this. He created your body, and he created your spirit. Because we know we are of his spirit, the Bible says. We're created of his spirit. Your spirit and his spirit, your spirit was taken from him. So that means the spiritual side of you connects with God and your godliness. The problem in our life is where? In your soul, in your mind, right? Okay, because your mind gets battered by the world. And the world confronts everything that you are and who you are in God and does everything it can to keep you soulish, not spiritual. So then you filter everything you hear when the Word of God is being taught. You filter it through your soul. And if you filter it through your soul, which is a part of what you do, you make a decision to hear. You've already exercised your soul. When you came here tonight, your soul made a decision to come here tonight to listen to the Word. Good choice. But it's your spirit that's going to walk away with the difference. Did you get that? In other words, your mind isn't going to be changed because you heard something good. You can hear something good and say, ah, that's mine. I own that. I like that. I received that. I like it that God designed me in him, and it didn't matter what I look like and what other people think. I like that. But then you're going to make a determination about how you deal with that in spiritual terms. And if the majority of your life is lived in the flesh and in the soul, and your spirit is third in line, you're going to be, at best, a weak Christian. And when the world starts getting its butt kicked because evil is unleashed like Jesus said it would be unleashed, if people knew what was going to happen in the world, and I know we have the controversies about rapture and we're all going to get out of here, but even if you read your Bible and you understand before the rapture comes, it's going to get dirty. And in Thessalonians, Paul says this. You can look it up, and I'll try to look it up for you later before we leave tonight if you want. But even Paul says this. When the son of perdition, that's the devil, Satan, Lucifer, comes. When the devil is manifested on earth, the Antichrist is manifested in a human being. Lucifer comes in a human body, and it's called the Antichrist. Paul tells us in his letter to, I think it's 2 Thessalonians, that before that happens, the restraint of sin that is in the world holding sin back has to be taken out first. Does that make sense? So in other words, there's something in the world that's holding evil from taking over. Does that make sense? That's what Paul says. So he says, Jesus can't come back until the restraint is removed. That's the church. People say, well, that's the Holy Spirit. And the church will be, no. The church and the Holy Ghost are one. The Holy Ghost leaves, the church goes. If the church goes, the Holy Ghost goes. Except the Holy Ghost has been here ever since Genesis chapter 1. Are you okay with it so far? Genesis chapter 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, verse 2. And the Spirit of God brooded over the face of the waters. The Holy Ghost was here. And he's been here all along. He's going to be taken out. But before he's taken out, the church has got to deal with darkness. And they have to face darkness. And you're not going to be able to face darkness that's in the world until we face our own. You are not going to want to miss Sunday morning. I'm not just trying to get butts in chairs, okay? I'm just telling you, you are not going to want to miss Sunday morning because we're going before the Lord's table, and I'm going to talk about some things that I believe at every bone of my body. I would stake my 50-year walk with Jesus on telling you I believe what I'm going to talk to you about Sunday morning is absolutely crucial to where we are going as a church. And I know that I can't be the, in fact, I know for a fact I'm not the only one talking about it. But it's how are we going to deal with evil in the world if we don't deal with the evil inside of us? Now, I didn't say you have a demon, and I didn't say you're evil. Unless you are. And are you? No? Okay. Are you born again?
Yes.
Are you saved?
Yes.
You know where you're going?
Yes.
Are you sure?
Yes.
Okay. You filled with the Holy Ghost?
Yes.
If you're not, you better get it. because this is going to be the core. When the Holy Spirit comes, the Holy Spirit doesn't come, and people get this idea because they when the baptism of the Holy Ghost hits you and you begin to pray in tongues. Roma shokoraba sundaraba shakaraba sundaraba. That's the body? No, that's not the body. It must be the mind. Oh, yeah, it's the mind because it's using your mind. It's using your tongue. It's using your mouth. You just got filled with the Holy Ghost. That's your spirit speaking. That's why it's called the spirit language. So when you pray in your heavenly prayer language, your spirit is speaking and you're transcending past your mind. Does that make sense? Now, don't get me wrong. Your mind doesn't shut off. But that's why Paul orders us when we pray in our heavenly prayer language, he orders us in 1 Corinthians chapter 14. He says, I'm telling you, he doesn't use the word order, but he says, I'm telling you, he tells the church, you need to pray in tongues and listen to what you pray.
Yes.
You need to pray in a heavenly prayer language and listen to what you're thinking. And, I've made the joke before, if you're praying in tongues and you're thinking about pizza, you're hungry. That's not the Holy Ghost. Okay, all right, but am I making sense? So the way we're going to deal with the way the world is going now is you're going to have to start hunkering down and getting way more spiritual than we are, myself included. It's time to clean house, because all the stuff that we have that we're dealing with in our bodies and all the stuff that is in our soul, and we'll talk more about that Sunday morning. All those things that are in your mind that you've heard that are wrong and you've been taught that are wrong. We've all heard wrong. We grew up and we heard things that were wrong. Today we hear things wrong, things that are wrong. The Holy Ghost gets past your body and your mind, and gets down into your spirit. And that's where we deal with the issues of learning how to walk in the spirit. Walking in the spirit doesn't mean you're hovering across the floor. It means you're hearing in spiritual things while you're hearing in natural things. And everybody goes, well, that's for the pastor to do. Or that's for the apostles and prophets. No, the apostles and prophets and pastors were ordered to teach the church to do the work of the ministry. Do you realize it's not my responsibility to win the city? It's my responsibility to teach you to win the city. Does that make sense? So that's why we're talking about what we're talking about tonight. So 1 Corinthians chapter 4. Go there real quick. 1 Corinthians chapter 4. And am I ever going to get to my issue? Chapter 4. And listen to what happens in verse. Did I say first? Go to second. I'm sorry. Leilani, you're doing a great job, girl. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16. Watch this now. You got it? Okay, watch this. If you don't have your Bible, watch it on the screen. For which cause, Paul says, we faint not. Why are we fainting? Why are they fainting? Because of the struggles of life. Yeah. Darkness was getting darker. And at the same time, light has to get more light. Okay, so watch what he says. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish. Now, what's our outward man?
Our body.
That's right. So outward man perish, watch what he says, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. Now, who's that?
Spirit.
Well, that's where the soul and the spirit begin to work together. Because when you, people get the idea when someone moves in the Holy Spirit that they separate from their mind. No, If God takes out your mind, that's called a lobotomy. Anybody know what that is? Okay, you're brain dead. That never happens. It can't happen. That's not the purpose. So now that means the war is in these two realms, and you better be stronger here than you are here, or this won't override this. This will override this. And this will tell you, stay in bed, don't get up, and don't go in the office, and don't go into the living room, or don't go into the kitchen someplace, and sit down at the kitchen table, and listen to God, and just start journaling, and start talking to Jesus, and saying, what do you want from me today? Does that make sense? Because
yep.
Your soul's just not going to do that. Your soul doesn't want to do what's right but it knows what's right. Does that make sense? And so that's why there's two of you. Paul said this in, I'm so into Sunday morning. I got to be careful here. I don't want to go there because I'm going to open up a can of worms I can't shut. Okay, but so we understand that. Where did I go? 16. Okay, let's go on. Leilani, let's go on to verse 17. For the light afflictions, which is but for a moment, works for a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. So in other words, what is he saying about light afflictions? What are light afflictions? Those are non-heavy afflictions. Okay, let's not make this complicated. Light afflictions. Light afflictions are for a season. What do light afflictions do? Light afflictions are things that try to distract us from the things we should be doing. Does that make sense? Can anybody think of, just off the top of your head, and just raise your hand, don't blur it out, what would be a light affliction in life that would get between your soul and your spirit? What?
Social media?
Well, it's downhill from there. Okay, what else are you gonna? What else?
Getting irritated with somebody.
Okay, so you get the idea that you can. So it's a struggle. You're in a struggle between these two, and if you don't strengthen this, but how do you strengthen your spirit, man? Raise your hand. You're gonna be the answer man tonight. Okay. Spending time with God, and Bob?
Reading
the Word. If you spend time with God and you don't read the Word, you'll make up your own Word. Are you with me? You have to have something to be accountable to. I could tell you right on this tablet alone, and I have stacks of them. I can't tell you how many times I've written something out and went, Wow, I've never heard that. Wow, that's cool. I write that down, then I look at it and go, I don't think that's in the Bible. How many of you know? It may sound good, but it ain't going to connect with my spirit, man. Does that make sense? That's why when people go, it's no big deal. You know, you go to, how do I do this without getting in trouble? You know, It's not a light issue that someone goes to the Mormon church. I have Mormon friends. Mormon friends. They're not my best friends, but I have friends. They're my friends. But they're deceived. Because they don't understand the very things we're talking about, and they don't believe in being born again. Does that make sense? I'm not bashing Mormons. I have Mormon friends. But you understand that if we compromise, we're getting into that zone between your soul and your spirit, and you're breaking the connection. And then you wonder why you live in fear. You wonder why you're worried about everything and what's going on in the world. And it's not that you shouldn't be concerned. I'm not saying that. I'm not saying I don't have concerns. But you don't look where the world's going. I'll tell you what. Now Susan is a political junkie. She's in orders of magnitude a political heroin addict, okay? She can't live without it, okay? I want absolutely nothing to do with it, okay? I don't, quite frankly, give a rip. Now, I know who I'm voting for, and I know how I think and I feel, but I'm not going to get into all the... You know, I don't care whether you watch CNN or Fox. You're all full of bull. You know, that's the truth. Because the only thing that matters in life that's going to make a difference is you get into God's Word and you listen to what it says, no matter what the politicians or the pundits say. And is Jesus coming back for a Democrat? You bet. Some of you better say so, because I know Republicans, they ain't going to make it. Are you with me?
Yeah.
Am I making sense? Some of you are looking at me like you're a little scared of what I'm going to say something wrong. It's too late. I already did it. But if you understand that this is so elemental to your life and to my life. And so when he says this, he says, last verse, while we look not, verse 18, at the things which are seen, but the things that are not seen. So, okay, what is that? What are the seen things? The body. Okay. Okay, now, don't you think you can see soulish things? How do you see soulish things? Come on. You act them out in your body. Because your soul man is telling your body what to do. Does that make sense? Have you ever done anything stupid? It wasn't the Holy Ghost. Okay? He didn't go to sleep on the job, and he was watching, he was nudging you, he was telling you, Bob, if you do that, it's gonna go wrong. Bob, come on, you know what I'm talking about? You know, he a sweet little gentle in the ribs. I just, you do that and you're gonna get in trouble. And you listen, and other people will go, you know, you're in the midst of making a decision in life, and all of a sudden, you're about to sign a contract, you're about to do something, and you go to the people that you're about to do this with, and you say, I just can't do it. I just can't do it. What do you mean, man? We've been talking about this. We've been dealing with this. We got it down on paper. All you got to do is sign, and we're good to go. Here we go. Something's wrong. They don't understand what's wrong. Because your spirit man is telling your soul man, hey, fool, tell this guy, if he signs it, we're all going down. Does that make sense? So listening to God and hearing God isn't a matter of an audible voice. Like I said, God sounds like you. And he, you know, seldom, you know, I've only had two occasions in my life where God's voice was, might as well have been screaming. The vast majority of the time, it's a real quiet voice. The Bible talks about a still small voice. What is that small voice? That's the Holy Spirit speaking to you. How are you going to know it's the Holy Spirit? If you don't spend time in the Word and listen to Him. And when you hear something said to you, you'll back it up with Scripture. Yeah. I've actually had situations where I felt like the Lord said, don't do that. Well, that didn't make sense. What's wrong with that? Don't do it. And I think, well, wait a minute. Now, I think that's right. And there's nothing wrong with it in the natural that I can see, and I'm not hiding anything. And so it looks like a good thing, and it is a good thing. But the Holy Spirit says, don't do it. Now, how do you measure that? How do you judge that? What do you do? Well, you have to move with your conscience. Where's your conscience? Where? Right here. That's where your conscience is, and that's where you go, I just got this feeling that doesn't quite feel right. That's God. Now, if you're not sure that it's really the Lord, I got a foolproof thing you can do. If you know your Bible and your phone's not ringing, sorry. If you, what was I saying now?
If you know your Bible.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Okay. If you know your Bible and you know the Scriptures and you know how to, do what? Okay. Now I still don't know what I was saying. Okay. If you know your Bible, and you know, not that you're overly confident, not that you have it all memorized. I'm not talking about memorizing the Bible, but if you know the Scriptures well enough, you have every right to say, if you don't want me to do this, I need a verse. Because this looks right, and I'm not going to listen to the enemy. Wait a minute. Does the devil talk to you? Are you kidding? Are you absolutely kidding? Sometimes he uses people, and sometimes he just uses Bob, okay? Come on. You know what the voice of evil is, right? Have you ever thought anything dumb, stupid, or ridiculous, or sinful? That's the voice of evil. Don't tell me you haven't heard evil before. So what do you do? You say, I need to know Can you give me a verse? It's amazing. It's absolutely amazing because I always say, I'm not doing that until I get a verse. When I get a verse, it'll either be go or stop. Go or stop. You know, engineer Bill. Green light? Not something. You're not, you got to be old to know what engineer Bill is. I'm sorry, the red light. Stop it. You're old enough. Okay. Some of the younger ones look at me with. Now, don't get me started on engineer Bill, okay? Jeez. I completely lost my place. Okay, so this is what we're after tonight. They say, this is where we're headed. This is what we're going to be talking about Sunday morning, how we clean this area of our life up. Because the way the world is going, you're not going to be able to survive on church. You're not going to be able to survive on church. It's not going to happen. Because what happens in a church, even a small crowd, I mean, this is considered big for what would happen in the New Testament. You know, when Mike was talking about lowering the man, and a week before I talked about they lowered the paralyzed man down through the house, everybody gets this idea that there were hundreds of people there. Those houses, they wouldn't hold hundreds of people. They couldn't do that. This would be a large crowd right here. You could maybe survive with a crowd like this, but I'm gonna really put it out here. And they may want to take this off the CD. Is this going live, Facebook? Is this going live, Facebook, Steve?
No,
it's not?
He's recording.
It's not recording. He's recording. Oh, that's recording. I don't care. I just don't want it to go live on Facebook. I did that, and I forgot what I was going to say. What did I say? Oh, yes, yes, thank you, thank you. That in small groups, and I mean this in all honesty, my greatest concern for the body of Christ today in America is the megachurch. Because not that the megachurch is wrong, not that they're preaching anything wrong, but thousands of people get in and out and unscathed. There's no conviction, not because it's not being preached. Are you with me? I'm not indicting anybody. And I'm not saying a big crowd is wrong. I'm just saying when the poo hits the fan, people that are stowed away in large crowds that are not being taught these issues are going to be the people at highest risk. And people say, well, I just don't believe I'm ever going to be deceived. Right there is the open door to deception. If you think you can't be deceived, you think you're bulletproof, you are wrong. Because better people than you have been taken down by that very statement. They made that statement and they said, I'm never going to go wrong. How do we fix that? How do you deal with that? Two things. Number one, you embrace this truth for your life. Okay, you embrace this truth that that's what you're supposed to do, and you deal with your body, soul, and spirit every single day. You get up and brush your teeth, and you do that because you know that's the most important thing you can do when it comes to your oral hygiene. It saves your teeth, and it saves the people that have to smell your breath. Okay? I did it again. I haven't had enough coffee today. Do what? Oh, yeah, okay. Embrace the truth. Embrace the truth. And then filled with the Holy Spirit. And I can tell you this for a fact. Hundreds, if not thousands of people go to churches that preach and teach the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And there are thousands of people that don't embrace it, don't move towards it, don't want it, and don't see the necessity for it. Does that make sense? So if we're going to deal with this, and we're going to understand that we're going to embrace the truth, And it's going to be hard truth. There's some hard preaching coming down the road. I'm not just talking about me. And I'm, you know, believe me, nobody wants to please people more than I do. And I mean that from the bottom of my heart. Because you really got to have an ego to get up in front of a group of people and preach to them when you preached to them last week and you actually think they're going to come back again. Did that make sense? Okay. So there's got to be a cause there. And the cause has got to be, we've got to get our act together. We've got to realize what's coming ahead. Say, well, you know, the kids will take care of it. No, the kids ain't going to take care of it. And so, you know, we're going to preach the word. We're going to stay on the word. You're not going to build a crowd when you preach the word. Because a lot of people won't sit for this. Some of you may not. When we have another first Wednesday night again, I'm preaching, you may not show up. but that's why on Sunday morning we keep pushing this issue. Deal with issues. It's okay that we get a feel-good gospel. It's okay that the message goes out that everything's going to be okay and your finances are going to be fine and life's just going to be wonderful and everything's going to work out. And it always is a good message that you're going to overcome. You're going to overcome. You're going to overcome. But there's got to be a message about war. There's got to be a message about fighting for what's right and for fighting against what's wrong and standing up for the truth. And when you hear the truth, you don't get your panties in a wad and walk off. You say, I'm going to listen to this and I'm going to hear this until I hear something wrong, until I hear something that's unbiblical. I'm not going to run from this. I'm going to embrace it. I'm going to move towards it. I'm going to let it change my life because I realize I need to be changed. We all do. And the thing that's missing in the church so much, even in our church, is accountability. We don't have enough relationships. It's hard enough in a church. We're considered a mid-sized church. You know what the numbers of the average church in America are? 71 people. Right now, the Barna statistics are 71 people, unless they've changed again. 71 people is the average church in America. Anything over 71 is considered a medium size, and then you go to mega churches. It doesn't matter how many people go there. What matters is how many of the people that go there are really connected to these issues. You get us connected to these issues and a church of 300 or 400 can function like a church of 1,000 in terms of impact in the community. Does that make sense? I mean, and then all of a sudden you're making a difference in the community. So I appreciate you tolerating me kind of going after this tonight, but it's just been a burr in my saddle that Sunday morning we're going to talk about these issues. We're going to go before the Lord's table, and we're not going to talk about it at this level. You're going to hear me talk about something that I talked to the staff about out of the Beatitudes. Something happened in the middle of the Beatitudes. Anybody know what the Beatitudes are? Okay, that's the Sermon on the Mount. That's specific chapters. I'm gonna share with you Sunday morning. The guys over there are shooting off skyrockets again. I'm surprised they're early. They wait until midnight to do it usually. But we're gonna be talking about this issue, and we're gonna go before the Lord's table and about how we can have a breakthrough. I mean, a breakthrough in these issues. I live for the day that it used to happen. I live for the day again before God's done with me, before I finish my course, and I'm not done now. But before I finish my course, I want to hear people come back and go, I you won't believe what I heard. People start getting revelations from the Lord. Yes. People go, well, I just feel like, you know, we ought to have more prophecy. You know what? We need more than prophecy. We need revelation. You get a revelation, I'll let you prophesy. People want to get up and prophesy and say, thus saith the Lord, everybody's going to be okay and everything's going to be good and bless us for and no more Acts 2:4 and go home. Okay. No, I'll tell you what a prophecy is. A prophecy is when there's a revelation that strikes people in their heart, causes them to want to repent and cry out to God for mercy and grace and love and power and authority. That's prophecy. You go back and read the Old Testament prophets, they turned everybody every way but loose. Right? You read those guys, man, they kick some serious booty, okay? And they got in the face of religion. And so tonight, I want to send you away with a good encouraging word. Either tonight or tomorrow morning, When you start your discipline, even if you start with 5 minutes, I'm not asking you to start with that. It took me years to work up to 2 hours. I lock myself. I'm not saying this to pat myself on the back. Okay, that's not what I'm doing. I'm just trying to encourage you. I lock myself up every morning for 2 hours. 2 hours. I close the door to my office. I get a cup of coffee. And it's just Susan knows whether she's in bed or not in bed. Just stay out of there. Leave them alone unless something's wrong. I don't always come out of there with a vision or a dream. Matter of fact, most of the time I don't have a vision or a dream. I just keep feeding myself, keep feeding myself, keep feeding myself. I encourage you to do the same thing. Get a hold of somebody.